Hello, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving if you are listening to this episode on release day. If you are not, maybe you're listening to it on a Thanksgiving in the future, in which case, also happy Thanksgiving. But that being said, welcome back to episode 15 of the Hideous Laughter podcast. This one's called Scythe to Meet You, and I just want to say I am particularly grateful to everybody out there who likes anything we put out, who subscribes, who leaves us feedback on iTunes or whatever podcast app you listen to. It means so much to us. And I just want to just do a quick plug here. Hit us up on Twitter at Laughter Hideous. Go to our website, hideouslaughterpodcast.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. And we're always looking for more feedback. We're always looking to make the show better. Thanks a bunch again from the bottom of my heart. By the way, I'm Steve, if you couldn't tell this already. And if you didn't know, that's probably because this is your first episode. If that's the case, go back to episode one. It'll make a lot more sense. Anyway, save a turkey, drink a hams.
Oh, that was an awful sip.
Like liquor and things that go boo? Then buckle up, listener, cause this one's for you. Prepare yourself for the Hideous Laughter Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hideous Laughter Podcast, episode 15. Guys, let's start with Brooks this time. What are you drinking?
Ooh, glad you started with me. I am drinking a winter white ale from Bell's in the land of far-off Michigan.
Oh, yeah, Michigan. Nice.
I like that.
Haley, how about you?
Oh, God.
Smooth move.
Oh, no.
I was so
It's everywhere, guys. It's everywhere.
Well, folks, Haley managed to get what are you drinking?
Cider, guys.
She managed to get cider all over her iPad and mic.
Guys, it's not on my mic.
I would wipe it off.
Don't judge me.
All right, Emily, what are you drinking?
That was a little cleaner. A winter cider.
Thanks.
A winter cider. Steve, how about you?
All right, this might take a moment. All right, so I drank all my hams yesterday. So there's a splash of ginger beer. Drop that on the floor.
Smooth.
There's a little bit of vodka.
He still managed to sip it.
Whew, that was... I should have put the vodka in first.
You probably should have mixed it up before you
I was pressed for time. I know what I'm working with.
Well, that probably mix that up. But I'm drinking a raspberry White Claw. Guys, we got some really fucking cool fan art this week. Guy by the name of Ryan at Rusted Chrome on Twitter made this, like, God, it's so cool. It's Nightmare Before Christmas kind of style, and it's pictures of all the characters. What did you guys think of that?
Well, I thought they were super wicked. When we got them last night, I was totally geeking out. And with the power invested in me by being a member of the podcast, I hereby pronounce Mr. Ryan of Rusted Chrome, a member of the founding fathers of the Carrion Crowd. So that's our second founding father. Put him up, guys. We're giving you cheers right now, Ryan.
Oh, this table's pretty big for that. I can't reach you guys, but enjoy yourselves. Yeah, so that was super cool, and you can check that out on, I know we retweeted it, and definitely on his page. He's got a ton of other cool art, so definitely go check him out.
I'd also like to put it up on the website because that's going to be Eclipse's picture.
Yeah, she kind of looked like which?
Shock.
Yeah, Shock. She looked like Shock. And Igmar looked like the dude with the axe in his head from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I could not have pictured it. I mean, if I told him exactly what I thought Igmar looked like, that would be exactly that. So it was just perfect.
Hairy legs and all.
Oh, yeah. Hairy legs and a goofy smile.
That goofy smile is so perfect for Igmar.
So, guys, we left you off. You had kind of cleansed the fountain in town square by the memorial. You cleansed that by throwing some grave dirt in it. You found Arinelle's body. You snuck into the Restlands, decided, fuck it. We don't need to pay for a plot. We'll just dig up some earth. Matumbe can do this in 5 seconds and bury him there. Then none of you know this, except for Eclipse, that Arinelle is back, baby. On the other side of the mirror.
I say back, but not in the same exact form.
Well, you don't know that yet.
Would Eclipse know if he is like in the marble still or just the mirror?
Well, I saw him in the mirror. I guess that's where I'd assume he is.
Okay.
Well, you saw him outside of the mirror and then he tapped on it and went in. Remember?
Right. So in my head, he's now there.
Yeah.
Got it. Character knowledge and player knowledge.
Division of character knowledge and player knowledge. Separation.
That's right.
So you guys wake up in the morning, you're feeling kind of refreshed. Some of you have taken a pretty good beating, maybe not all the way to full health. But you wake up in the morning, I imagine you guys kind of reconvene for breakfast or whatever and and discuss what you're going to do for the day. So
Lyra would also like to draw a hero card as getting up in the morning, probably before she comes downstairs.
Draw your card for the day. What you got?
Ooh, the Paladin, which has a hammer on it.
That'd be strength.
Strength, so I can add a +2 to a strength roll.
Lyra makes a lot of those, so look out, folks.
Woo!
So, Matumbe, like the other knights, probably intended to read his Book of Urgothoa to learn more, but he took a pounding yesterday between the fire skulls and then the gargoyles and stuff. Even after sleeping a full night's rest, he's still at just under half his hit points. He's looking pretty ragged in the morning.
Yeah, guys, I really put you through the ringer on that one. We were sitting down and just like thinking about what you guys had done in a single day. Like you fought Gibbs at like 5 a.m. You saved Town Hall from the fire with the skulls. You cleansed the fountain, had the shadow gargoyle fight. Is it done a fuck ton of stuff today?
It's all in a day
or yesterday. So here you are. You're at breakfast. Are you guys talking about kind of what your next steps are?
Yeah, I think we're all going to be sitting down and probably eating. I'm assuming Motumba is going to be asking for some sort of help.
It is remiss of me to have to ask, but I feel like hot carrion left out in the desert overnight.
Is he asking the rest of the party or is
it? Literally anybody. I just need help.
I imagine, Kendra's down there eating breakfast with you guys. She probably got up earlier than you because she wasn't in so late like you guys. And she'll say,
Matumbe, I do have a scroll of Cure Light Wounds. I could cast it, or if one of your party members thinks they'd be better off.
Yeah, I can use the scroll if she's willing to let me use it, or I have only so many Cure Light Wounds.
You can use a scroll.
Okay. Yeah.
Kindred is very much appreciated.
Can't have you dying on my watch.
That's right.
Do I have to make a check, or can I just use it? And
you don't have to make a check. It's on your spell list.
Okay. Ooh, 8, and then is it just a plus 1?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So 9.
It's a CL1.
Mm. 9. That's excellent. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm still not at full, but a lot closer than I was. I'm at 20 out of 24.
Jesus. Matume got the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, it ain't easy being Matume.
Tume's had a rough day. So you guys are eating breakfast. We got a little bit of heels up. What are you guys talking about?
So, I mean, Eclipse probably looks like she hasn't gotten a whole lot of sleep because she apparently never sleeps anymore. And she looks like she is on a mission again, kind of like last time, except with the map. And she has a parchment and is ready to start planning out, like, what do we know about Lorimore? Because I'm more feeling... like Eclipse at least is feeling more and more suspicious of what's happening. So she would say, okay guys, so we know so far that Lorimore was killed at Hearthstone, right? That's where he was killed. And then the whole the statue has been an issue with that was the warden, right? At Hearthstone. So what in the world? What do you guys think of this? This can't be good.
Yeah, and they were, both him and his wife were both killed in the fire that destroyed the prison. So, definitely connected.
So, you can like look at the piece of parchment, and Eclipse has just written Harrowstone and like circled it about 15 times at this point.
I do not know what we could expect to find at Harrowstone, but it seems that all roads point there, whether or not we know where they go.
We can see. Maybe we'll find evidence or something. Or there could be someone I could talk to there. We could figure that out.
Someone I could talk to, she cryptically says.
Eclipse is almost in the, like, eye twitching. Like, she's been sleep deprived. She's apparently talking to dead people on a regular basis now. It's wearing down a little.
As long as, you know, we can all be, you know, safe and, you know, try not to get hurt and we're not, like, trespassing or anything.
Well, I think now it's all ruins, so we shouldn't have to worry too much about the living. But we know from the song, too, that there were quite a few very bad people that died there, along with the guards. So we've learned about a few of them, but there's still others that we haven't learned more about.
You say we do not need to worry about the living, and I agree. And if it's the dead that currently inhabit the prison, it is our moral obligation to grant them eternal rest.
I guess if that's the right thing to do, I agree with Matumbe.
So it sounds like you guys want to go to Hearthstone. The adventure path is this book of the adventure path is called The Haunting of Hearthstone. So I knew we'd get there sometime.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we've done our research.
So you guys are heading to Hearthstone then. And to do that, you, much like in your several other ventures out of town, need to head south. You head south of town. The sky, a pretty deep shade of gray today. And it's overcast. And on your way to the prison, it begins to rain. And I think the weather kind of fits the mood of the place that you're going to visit. You follow kind of a winding path out of town. And the path leads to basically a hill. This hill, you climb in a spiral up to basically these big stone walls. Gray stone. They look thick, but they look like they've seen better days. They're pretty crumbled. They're pretty old and neglected. So, what do you guys do as you approach Harrowstone Prison?
Lyra would like to detect magic on the front doors, if there's doors still standing.
So you do see, as you approach, if you're approaching from the path, the prison has one entrance. It's kind of like you would expect a big border wall on a normal prison. Usually we would have like the barbed wire and stuff. This is just too tall to even climb. There's a gate at the front entrance. The wrought iron gate kind of appears to swing in the wind. It doesn't look like it's locked in any way or secured. If you detect magic on the gate, you come up empty. But I would like you guys to place yourselves on this map.
Can you, I guess, describe this location a bit?
You see kind of what looks like a front entrance to this big gray stone building. The building looks like it has some balconies and stuff to the sides. You see to kind of like if your players are facing the prison, to their left, there is what looks like was once maybe a someone else's house, like a house that was not attached to the prison.
And that's inside the walls?
Yes, that's inside the walls.
Gotcha.
As you guys had approached, the crumbling natures of the walls was pretty apparent. You saw basically what looked like a giant pond had kind of swallowed up some of the walls on either side of the prison. Looks like it wasn't there before. It seems to have, you know, appeared over time. You see as you look in, you know, there's a lot of crumbling stone. A lot of the former glory of this once secure prison has kind of been washed away. You think that like it would be pretty easy to enter the prison at any given entrance point. It looks like a lot of the walls have been kind of taken out. And that's what you see from this distance.
Okay. Ikmer would like to check for any tracks leading into or out of the prison.
Yeah, make me a survival check.
22.
You can see, and you're outside of the gate, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You can see that just even 50 years later, the kind of carriage tracks and stuff are still evident, obviously overgrown, but you can tell that this path was so commonly traversed that the path you're on is still visible, and it's still you could see that it had a lot of traffic. But with the 22, I mean, you don't see anything that looks recent. Anything that looks like somebody would have been here even in the past week or two.
Be on your guard. I am worried that what lies beyond these gates is not of this mortal realm.
Yeah, so I would say Eclipse is gonna want to just walk in at this point. She's kind of excited to go in here.
Okay, so she opens a gate?
Yeah.
Great sound effect.
And I assume by her opening the gate, she's the first to enter.
Yeah.
Eclipse, you have this strange thought as you enter the prison grounds. You suddenly feel claustrophobic, terrified, trapped in a small space. And then your skin, it starts to feel hot. and then it feels like it's burning. Then it feels like you're on fire, and I need you to make me a will save.
Is this mind affecting?
Yes.
Ooh, 17 on the die, so that is a 22.
So you have these terrifying thoughts, and you manage to shake it off. You kind of look around to the rest of the group, and it doesn't seem like anyone else was affected.
Just the first to enter. Okay.
So now that you're inside the grounds, you can kind of look around, and it's overgrown with just weeds, and looks like nobody's been here in a long time. You see kind of like a crumbling front entryway, but more immediately near you is, again, that house that is not attached to the prison.
It looks like could use some of my lawn mowing skills.
I'm actually, from the point where you guys are, can you... I imagine you're just going to start kind of looking around. Can you each make me a perception check?
I rolled a 4, so that's a 9.
18 on the die, that's a 22.
12 on the die, that's a 12.
12 for Lyra.
Son of a bitch.
So, Matumbe, you're the only one to notice this. But as you guys kind of start walking towards the prison and kind of taking in your surroundings, you see what looks like runes? It's runes around the base of the front of the prison. And as you kind of follow the runes, your gaze goes to the side of the prison. It almost looks like they surround the entire building.
These runes appear to be odd. Lyra, could you detect magic? See, perhaps that's some sort of ward?
She would try to detect magic wherever the runes are.
As she detects magic, she gets not a feeling that the runes are currently magical, but that they were maybe used to perform some magic. She's not getting like Lyra, when you detect magic, what does it look like in your head? Like, what does Lyra see when she sees something magical? Does it glow? What does it?
I kind of envisioned it as like she would see an aura of something, and then if she focused, it would get more and more pinpoint to where it's actually coming from, and then maybe she could do a little bit more to try to figure out what it actually is. Sure. But she sees.
She sees something. Kind of like almost like the. The way you're describing it is making me think of, like, the halos around lights when you're, like, driving at night kind of thing. Like, she sees that. And you're not seeing your usual... You concentrate, you're not able to really pinpoint it, but you're seeing this halo around the runes as if it's just a faint feeling. And as you concentrate, you can kind of put together that there's hints of necromancy. There's hints of abjuration coming off of these runes. But the runes themselves don't seem to have their own inherent magic. Matumbe, you also notice that it looks like... And we'll kind of roll over Ikmer's survival check, too. Everything else around here is super overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
The grass and weeds along the foundation of Harrowstone appear to have been trimmed recently, pulled away from the building.
All right, so Matumbe is going to rub his thumb on the skin of his index and middle finger and touch those two fingers to his temple, casting Reed Magic on himself. And is going to see if he can read the runes using that spell.
Sure. So he's trying to read magic.
Yeah, and
runes.
Matumbe has brown eyes, but when he casts read magic, like the whites of his eyes kind of glow blue a little bit.
That's pretty cool. So you're trying to read magic. and you're able to kind of read the meaning of the runes, and you just see a name repeated over and over in the runes, and as you study them, you see that, like, oh, there's blood smears here.
Yeah.
There's, oh, this is darker than I thought. But what you read is, it says, Veishan Hawkrin, Veishan Hawkrin, Veishan Hawkrin.
That's the warden, correct?
That is the warden.
I do not want to alarm anyone in the party, but these magical blood-spattered runes around the base of this prison say the warden's name over and over and over again. I could not determine why, but something is afoot.
Do you guys think he's still here?
Isn't that what was on the statue with her commemorating his and his wife's memorial thing, you know?
We knew that whoever was... Well, it was Gibbs, we know that. We knew that Gibbs was starting to spell a name that began with V-E-S, but whether or not that was the warden or his wife is inconclusive at this time.
Well, they were both blood, so...
This is true.
I guess if they're both blood, that's what I think.
You guys, I assume Matumbe and Lyra have pulled the rest of the party in to kind of take a look at these. You guys can make me a knowledge arcana if you want to try and know a little bit more.
Ikmer's gonna, like, think, or, like, look like he's thinking real hard, but he doesn't know anything, obviously.
Is Matumbe the one with it?
Yeah, I got a 16.
16 total?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of coming to the same conclusion Lyra had just by using Detect Magic, that you think this was part of maybe a necromantic ritual of some sort, because the runes don't appear to continue to be magical. So maybe they were part of something larger. You're not entirely sure why they would be surrounding the prison, but with a 16, you're putting a couple pieces together, but you know there's still stuff about this that, you know.
Sure, yeah.
What else are you guys doing? There's... So as you kind of follow the runes around, and again, you do see... you pass by the building. You can intuit that might have been where, like, the warden would have stayed. You pass by a couple of balconies. As you guys move around the prison, could you place your minis kind of in correspondence with what you're doing, and then I can describe better what's going on?
Sure. I think if we can intuit that the warden, that this little house in the courtyard is the warden's, I think Matumbe is going to be kind of drawn towards that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right along the path up toward the front entrance, so I feel like that is the natural first place to go to, or I guess investigate.
Right. It's on the way. We know that the warden, there's probably more to his story than just being a regular old prison warden.
Sure.
So I'm interested as a player and a character.
So this small brick manor house is overgrown with thick sheets of green ivy. The roof sags ominously and the front door hangs askew. Does anybody have knowledge engineering?
I have all the knowledges, Griffin.
Why don't you make me a knowledge engineering roll?
Okay. Well, that was pretty trash. That was a 6 total. It's 2 on the die.
Yeah, I mean, you see the sagging roof, but that doesn't overly concern you.
Okay.
You see that the foundation around the building still looks pretty good. But you're not 100% sure. You probably would tell the rest of the party, hey, if we're going in, be a little careful, watch your step.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do you guys go in there?
Yep.
Okay, so as you enter, obviously the door's hanging askew. It's very easy to... you almost pull it off the hinges when you try and get in, just because it's such an old, dilapidated door. Can you guys make a perception check once you reach the inside? And so you reach the inside, you see it's pretty bare in here. It looks like the room weirdly might have been ransacked. Like before all of this, back when the fire had recently happened and the prison recently got abandoned. What'd you guys get on your perception?
I got a natural 20, so 25.
14?
I had much less than a 25.
15.
Okay.
It was a 10.
Ikmer can see with a 15 that the roof's hanging pretty ominously. Now that you're inside, you can see a little bit better. You're worried that there might be a collapse in here. But Eclipse can see within the rubble, it looks like something maybe the people that ransacked this place didn't find. You see, it almost looks like a corner of burlap. But it looks interesting to you. It's like a burlap sack, but it's green in color. It looks like it was dyed. And you're curious.
How much would it weigh?
How much would it weigh?
Yeah.
You can't really tell that because a lot of it's buried by rubble. You managed to pick out a corner of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey guys, there's something in there. I think we should check it out. It's looks like it might be dyed. I don't know, I just see a corner. It looks half buried.
Go ahead.
Well, to be honest, the roof and floorboards, it doesn't look so safe. I don't know, but maybe, I mean, I might feel okay going over there and getting it for you, but I think I'd have to put my shield over my head or something.
Is that the plan? Is Ikmer going to go and dig this thing out?
I think so.
Okay, so Ikmer makes it across the room easily. I imagine the rest of you are either in the kind of like the front room of this house or you're standing kind of in the threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah, just waiting to help in case he needs
it. Sure. So, Ikmer, you make it across fine. You start digging this thing out. It's covered in some pretty heavy rubble. So make me a strength check to see if you can clear the rubble quickly or if it takes you a while.
Okay. 16.
Just enough. So it only takes you a minute to clear this rubble off. And you clear the rubble off. You see that this is it's an interesting looking bag. It's green. It's got kind of this gold embroidery on it. Looks pretty cool to you. So you probably cross the room again and bring it over to the rest of the party. It feels weirdly empty. It almost feels like you're just carrying a sack. And you're wondering, hey, this looks cool. Was it worth it for me to dig this out?
He's actually just going to go right to Eclipse and, here you go, Eclipse. I got it for you.
Oh.
Just for you.
Thank you, Ick. And I'm going to use my object reading.
And that gives you exactly what it is. I'm going to ask you every time. I always forget what the hell the object reading is.
Yeah.
So you know that this is a bag of holding.
Nice.
Oh,
what's in it?
I don't know. Do you empty it?
Yeah, I'm gonna
outside.
Yeah,
maybe right. We can move outside. Yeah. Probably
great idea.
Great idea. Yeah. So outside, I'm gonna open it up and look inside and try and grab whatever's on there.
So you can kind of like upend it if you
okay.
want.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Or you can just reach in and take stuff one by one. It's up to you.
I mean, I'll upend it, I guess.
It's a Tanglefoot bag in the bag.
Gotcha. Lands on the ground and tangles you. Gotcha. So you find two potions of cure light wounds, a scroll of lesser restoration, and what it's really weird when you're dumping it out, it like seems like it just keeps coming and coming out of nowhere. You find this long sword comes out of the bag.
Do you want to detect magic on that?
He's going to pick it up.
Object
can,
read?
Yeah, I can object okay. read it.
Yeah, you can tell this is a formidable blade. It is a plus one longsword.
Oh, wicked.
Neato.
Okay.
And yeah. I don't think, I mean, your object reading only tells you about recent stuff, right? It wouldn't.
It tells me about anything within the past 2 days, about its past, if it is cursed with a class or with a level of my class or less, and yeah, nothing if it's only unless it's 2 days ago.
So you don't get the object's history.
Right.
Gotcha.
Only recent history.
Gotcha.
All right. I feel like Ikmer really should take that plus one longsword, and I would love if I could get that scroll of lesser restoration, because I can learn it and add it to my spell book when I have second level spells.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hey, reading this a little bit more, it says if the item has any historical significance, the occultist learns one piece of information about its past as determined by the GM. That's only, I don't know if it has historical significance or not, but.
It does have a bit of historical significance. You see, this blade was used by a certain warden. Is actually passed down warden to warden for the Harrowstone prison.
Ah.
And it was known by the inmates as the Blade of Correction. And that's why you know some of its history, because it was infamous. Well, yeah. Infamous to the inmates, but
all right.
Wielded by wardens.
I feel like that could help us quite a bit later on.
Yeah, Eclipse is gonna give it to Ick and say, Ick, be careful, it's really important.
Okay. And then he like fumbles it and then like drops it in the mud. And then brushes it off.
So Ikmer picks this sword up out of the mud, and he's, you know, this is his first time holding it and looking at it, and he just kind of holds it in his hands, looks at the blade. It's, again, probably one of the most expensive things Ikmer's ever touched, and he holds it by the handle, and you can feel that it's like, it's got this fine leather on the handle. The stock is kind of like points jaggedly upward in what looks like almost a W. And in the base, at the end of the stock, is actually an emerald.
Okay.
And he thinks like, this is the coolest thing I've ever held.
Oh, absolutely. He's he's gonna stand up straight and like put it in front of him and make a pose and be like, hey guys, do I look like a knight now? Oh, okay, I guess not.
So you guys continue to kind of search around the grounds.
Lyra would be interested in the larger-ish body of water that's swallowed up.
Wait, but did we fully explore that house yet? Was it just the one room?
It was a couple rooms that you could basically see. We'll say, like, with your perception, that you guys had gone into it for briefly and kind of looked around.
And that was
Eclipse was the one that found, like, the stuff that was hidden there, but...
Did we detect magic inside
No, it was just a good perception check.
Okay. I mean, did we really want to? Or?
I mean, she can walk up in the doorway and detect magic in the area.
Yeah, you're not detecting anything magical.
Okay.
All right, cool. I just want to make sure we didn't miss anything.
Yeah. So, you want to check out the water?
Yeah, I think we'll go around. So, right now, the house is about 15 feet from the grand entrance.
Those are all doubled on the map. I think it's 30.
Yeah, it would be about 30 feet away. 30 Sorry, feet. The map... Yep. Gee dang it, Paizo, you really gotta, like... How am I supposed to buy a battle map and draw this on it? But, it, like, this is the biggest battle map I think you can possibly buy to use dry erase on. It's like the Chessex giant one, and the squares are still 10 feet, and this thing takes up the entire damn map. It's it's lunacy, Paizo. Wow.
All right, so the house that we just explored is about 15...
No, we just talked
30 about feet, Brooks. 30 feet. 30 Thank feet you. About west of the grand entrance, and to the right of us, we see the pond that has overtaken some of the prison.
Some of the structure, yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, you guys make the trek over to that side of the building, and you get to kind of the shore of this pond. A large pond of dark, muddy water spreads out along the eastern section of the prison grounds. Here and there, bits of ruined wall protrude from the water, and thick tangles of reeds and cattails grow along the muddy shores. Can you guys make me a perception check looking out over the water?
11.
I got a 10, so that's a 10.
17.
Lyra was distracted by the water, so she gets a 5.
So, Eclipse is the only one that sees the occasional ripple in the pond, and that probably unsettles her a little bit. She sees, like, kind of out towards the middle, it because you know this pond has not been here for, it's not like a,
been here for 50 years.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's like, it looks like something big's in it.
So it's bigger than the raindrop. The ripples are much definitely
it looks like something's moving in the water.
Gotcha. She's going to kind of nudge Lyra and, like, point out to the middle of the water. So, you're into water, right? What do you think that could be?
Can she tell roughly how deep it is, or is the water too dark? And
you can only see down, like, 5 feet. It's pretty murky.
Okay.
So, if you were to wade out, you might be able to figure it out. You could probably intuit that, because this isn't like a very naturally occurring pond, that it's probably not that deep.
Okay.
Think of it kind of like, you know those drainage ditches? It kind of formed in a similar way to one of those. It's probably a little deeper than that, but you can kind of intuit that even at the center of it, it's probably not intensely deep.
Okay. So, Lyra would tell Eclipse, it can't be all that deep, so probably not something too huge like a sea monster, but maybe something long and like a snake or something could maybe fit.
So, do you think we should go fishing, or?
If it's less than 60, is it less than 60 feet away?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
what are you going
to
do?
If you go to the edge of the water.
As Matumbe
walks
to the edge of the water, Ikmer is going to quick grab him and then pull him back and be like, oh, I saved your life.
Ikmer, I'm not going in. Just checking things out.
So Matumbe is going to detect evil and then chaotic.
You detect evil.
There is something very sinister below these waves. We should be very careful or not engage at all.
And you see the ripples are kind of still moving around the center of the pond, so you may figure out we should just back away, but it's up to you guys.
I mean, if it's not bothering us, I don't see why we should try to harm this creature. Even if it's evil, it's not bugging us, so we should just leave it be.
Absolutely agreed.
I agree with that, too. We probably shouldn't hurt it.
Okay, so you guys want to leave the pond alone?
Yeah.
I think we've done our sightseeing.
Detect any other things?
I tried detecting chaotic.
Can Lyra detect magic on it from the general area?
She does detect magic towards the center of the pond.
Just tell everyone, it's also magical.
Sounds even more like a reason to go away.
Now, Matume, when you detected evil, you could see auras, correct?
Yeah, if I focused it for like 3 rounds.
Yeah, I imagine you.
Which I would, there's no reason there, I wouldn't do that.
So you would see 4 auras kind of moving around.
Oh,
in the water.
Yeah, if it's 4 auras, Matume does not want to mess around with that at all.
Okay. So you guys kind of avoid the pond and head the other direction around the building, kind of taking in the exterior of the building. And as you approach the western side of the building, you see that there's a set of stairs leading up to a balcony. And I need you guys to make me a perception check.
8, so that's 8.
You really don't have anything in perception?
I really don't.
It's a 13 on the die, brings me up to a 17.
Gotta play the character.
15.
19.
Okay, Lyra and Matumbe. It's weird. You hear... It sounds like something swinging. You hear like... And it sounds like it's coming from the direction of the balcony. But because you guys are on the ground below the balcony, you can't really see what's going on it.
Lyra would like to try to detect magic up at the top if it's not too far away.
Don't you love all these detections that we have?
Hey, man. Part of the game. Yeah, you can detect magic.
Okay. So she would let everyone know that there's something magical.
And you continue to hear this noise. It kind of keeps going. If you let the rest of the party know, they listen carefully, they'll pick it up.
Okay.
Wasn't one of the people housed here the lopper that would hide in unlikely places and then jump out and cut off people's heads? I don't know if that's
a thing.
But a swishing noise makes me think of a swinging axe.
Yeah.
Did Lyra say that, or did you?
I think that would just be me. That was my own personal thing. I don't think Lyra would say it.
Eclipse will listen hard, and she'll hear the swooshing, and she'll start swooshing her axe as well.
To see if it sounds the same?
Yeah. Just, like, experimenting a little.
It sounds similar, but not the same.
Is it... Mm-hmm. Is it like a, does it have rhythm to it, like a pendulum of a clock going back and forth, or is it just like random interval swooshing?
It sounds pretty regular.
Okay.
But to that point, and with your perception, you're not hearing like a whoosh, 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 like it's swinging back and forth, but it is pretty regular, the sound of the whoosh.
Okay. So, I mean,
should we look up the stairs?
Yeah. We can go look up there, but I don't know. I feel like, have we seen any signs of Lorimar having been here yet?
Well, I think that's what you're looking for as you're kind of scoping the perimeter.
Yeah, I'm asking, have we seen any signs yet?
That's no, what, yeah. not thus far.
Okay, so I guess we would go up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Okay. You guys go up the stairs. and you can immediately see the source of the whoosh. You see what looks like a headsman's block. And you see this menacing, jagged-looking scythe wielded by two ghostly arms. And the scythe comes down on the other side of the block in a motion that you could intuit is chopping off the head of whatever its victim that day was. It continues to do this in a regular fashion until you reach the top of the stairs. It stops. And you could swear if the scythe had a face, it would have turned towards you. I need everybody to roll for initiative.
Oh.
Twelve.
So I got a 3 on the die, which isn't a great start, but that brings me up to a 7. I'm bad at this game.
Okay, so it sounds like the order is Eclipse, Lyra, Ikmer, Matumbe. Let's see what I get. Ooh, 20 on the die. Oh. Looks like we're going first, baby.
That's right. You wasted your 20 on the initiative. It's fine.
We'll see if it's anything like last episode. Ugh. I'll roll a couple rocks.
Stop. Stop now. Stop while you're ahead.
Okay. So, you guys see this almost ghostly skeletal arms wielding this jagged scythe that's like dripping negative necromantic energy. Looks like the thing of nightmares. And it bears down on the group. It leaves its headsman block and floats towards you.
It's fucking metal.
It's going to attack at... I think it's going to attack at Ikmer, as he is in the front of the group.
Hey, you took that +1 longsword, right?
I did.
So you definitely have that equipped, right?
Sure.
Sure, I did. That's not going to hit you with an 8 on the die. And... it's Eclipse's turn.
Now, before Eclipse goes, can you describe it just a little bit more? I'm having trouble. It's literally just arms and a weapon.
Well, I got a picture for you, bud. Maybe this will help. It is two ghostly skeletal arms holding a scythe.
It's literally just a floating scythe with two skeleton arms holding it and nothing else.
All right.
It's got to be hard to hit.
Yeah. Cool. I'll just check myself out of this combat now.
So, Eclipse, your turn.
What kind of negative do I get for using Energy Ray?
Using Energy Ray, if you took that 5-foot step, you would only incur the negative from point-blank shot, unless you have that.
No, I don't have that.
Okay, then it would just be a -4, because it's in combat with your buddy.
Well... I'm gonna try and use an energy ray still. I got 18 on the die, +3 to get 21, and -4.
So -4 would bring it to 19? Or not 19. No. I'm dumb. I have the dumb.
18.
17.
Yep, 17.
Okay. 16.
So 17. It's touch.
17 will hit its touch.
Four damage, and that is all, magical damage, so.
Yes, it is magical. It's an energy, so do you specify the type of damage with that?
No, it's...
Or is it
It's like a pure energy.
Okay,
ray.
I gotcha.
It literally says pure energy.
I gotcha. Okay. Lyra, you're up.
What kind of knowledge check would it be to see if this is incorporeal, or because it's like floating arms, she can kind of assume?
Make me a religion or a knowledge arcana.
She doesn't have either.
That's really should have.
She doesn't have very many skill points.
Well, I'll tell you right now, like, knowledge local or nature aren't going to give you anything about this creature.
She doesn't have that either.
Okay. What would she like to do?
She's going to take a 5-foot step to the side to just get out from behind Ikmer.
Okay.
And if she wants to shoot with her crossbow, it would be a -4 because it's in melee, or is she too close to do that?
You could certainly do that. Where you're placed right now, though, you're behind your buddies still. Like, in terms of them to it, it's a small thing, like being just a scythe holding arms. So I'll say that it's not fully covered by them, but it does get a little bit of partial cover, so it'll be a -2. And then on top of that, if you don't have point blank shot, it'll be a -4.
I would take a move. You can get a good line of.
But you can certainly, can certainly, if you do more than a 5-foot step, move around. Yeah, that would be perfect. So what Lyra did is she left from behind. The party has kind of just entered onto this balcony, obviously with the big heavy hitting boys up front. She looped around the party and is now staring this thing. Not in the eyes, I guess. Eye to blade.
All right, and then she is going to attempt to use one of her ghost touch bolts that she got from the crypt a while ago in her crossbow. Okay. She rolled a 20.
Nice.
Nice.
And so that is possible for critting. See? Oh, but then she rolled 9, so probably not.
Nuts. But it still hits, for sure.
Rolled a 1. So lovely. That's 2 damage.
Okay. Now it is Ikmer's turn.
You know, based on my archetype, I'm not even sure that Ikmer can use a longsword.
Oy vey, really?
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll have to look that up. I'm curious.
Officially double check.
Yeah, because you lose some of your weapon proficiency. I wouldn't think that it would take away like stuff like a longsword.
So, like I said, Ikmer does not have proficiency in this, but he hold up the sword and say,
you know, I don't think Professor would like it if I didn't use the spear that he gave me, so.
And then he'll toss the sword over to Eclipse. On the ground.
So we'll say tossing the sword is your standard action, and I'm not going to make that incur because I feel like you're already gipping yourself by dropping a weapon.
It's a nice weapon.
And it's kind of cool. Like, so I think Eclipse is the only character that has martial weapon proficiency.
Yeah.
So Eclipse, the sword lands at your feet, and you can wield it perfectly fine, but it doesn't automatically resize. So I know we said before we would let you use weapons that are a different size category as kind of a different weapon. What would you prefer? Do you want to use it as a medium longsword or like a small greatsword?
I think those are literally the same thing.
No. The damage is very different on both of them.
Okay.
And so I was trying to just go for the same amount of damage without the penalty because I thought that's what you were allowing to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm basically going for. Because
so
it's
the
not...
closest weapon to that with the same crit range is a Bardichi.
Okay.
Just without the brace and reach capabilities. So, I mean, just as far as what's on my screen, that's what I would be looking at.
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
But it's still just a sword.
Yep. Sure. You can put it in. If you need to put it in Hero Lab as something janky, go ahead. So, Ikmer's turn is done. Matumbe, you're up.
All right. What kind of knowledge can I roll against this thing?
Religion or Arcana.
Okay. Are those separate checks or the same?
You can make one this round and then one another
round.
That's
cool. I'll go Arcana first. Sounds good to me. All right, 14.
14. You know, this is what is known as a headsman's scythe. I'll let you ask one question about it.
Is it... does it get affected like undead?
Not 100%. You know that it is damaged by positive energy.
Okay. All right, so Matumbe is going to move 10 feet south. So essentially just kind of breaks up the party a little bit. And what he's going to try and do is cast...
Now, was he moving from a threatened space?
If it has reach.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, you're good.
Cool. So he's going to cast Disrupt Undead against it. It is a ranged touch attack. You can tell me right now if it doesn't do anything before I do this.
Can you read the description of Disrupt Undead? Does it do positive energy
damage?
You
detect a ray, or you direct a ray of positive energy.
Then yes.
Sweet. Okay. Wow, I'm a trash person. Okay, that's a 2 on the die. Against touch, that looks like it's going to be a 5.
That does not hit. Okay. Back to the top of the order. It is going to be the scythe. And the scythe is going to take a 5-foot step towards the man that just tried to zap it with positive energy because it does not like positive energy.
Cool.
It's a real negative Nancy. He doesn't like positive energy.
Fair enough.
He's going to take a swing. 7 on the die will not hit you.
That's good to know.
So it's Eclipse's turn.
Well, Eclipse is going to pick up the weapon. Can she just pick up the weapon and take the 5-foot to attack, or no?
Is she... I thought she was right up in its grill.
No, just see if I...
She was about 5 feet.
Yeah, I'll let you do that.
Okay. 17 on the die. That will go to a 22.
That will hit.
That is 11 damage.
Lyra, your turn.
All right, Lyra doesn't like being quite so close to this. It's only 10 feet away, so she is going to move back into the corner a little bit,
mm-hmm.
away from the scythe, and she is going to start singing to inspire courage for everyone.
Okay, mark that down, folks. Ikmer, you're up.
All right. He first is going to take a 5-foot step to flank with Matumbe.
And pull out his spear, right?
And, yeah, pull out his spear and try to attack this thing.
Sure.
He's very confused, but he's just kind of swinging at it. 12 on the die brings that to an 18 plus 1, 19.
That hits.
Awesome. For 7 damage.
Awesome. It is now Matumbe's turn.
All right, Matumbe is going to say,
"Begone, foul scythe hands."
Does he want to make another knowledge check?
I guess so. So this would be knowledge. What did I do? Religion last time?
I think you did Arcana last time.
Oh, I guess it really doesn't matter because they're at the same. So that's 19 total.
Okay, you may ask 2 questions.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we know positive energy does a lot of damage against it. What other weaknesses does it have, if any?
Let's see. Yeah, its only real weakness is that it's haunted, so the positive energy affects it. But since you already knew that, you can ask.
All right, around the table, does anybody else have anything that they want to know about this?
Special abilities?
Ooh, yeah. All right, special abilities is one.
If it's incorporeal, something. Then she would continue using the ghost touch, but I don't know if it is or not.
Well, you haven't touched it yet.
Is it incorporeal, and what other special abilities does it have?
It is certainly not incorporeal.
Okay.
And I'll give you this. It's considered an animated object. It has hardness.
Oh, that's foul. Okay. So Matumbe is going to take a 5-foot step back so I don't incur an attack of opportunity when I cast my good old Disrupt Undead.
Go
here,
nuts.
Here comes the ranged touch attack. Fucking Christ. 8 on the die, that goes up to an 11 against touch.
That does not hit.
That's bad.
That's bad, because that'd probably do a decent chunk of damage at least.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, back to the top of the order, and it just got hit by a crazy little Wyang wielding a big, big sword. So it's going to take a slash at Eclipse. 16 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay. 3 points of damage. Low roller. Alrighty. Lyra, you're up. Or sorry, Eclipse, you're up.
Well, I'm just gonna try and hit, I guess, right back. 18 on the die, plus 6.
Hits.
Yep. 2, I only rolled a 2, so that's 11 damage.
Perfect. Now it'll be Lyra.
Oh. Shoot. Yeah. Was I going to be able to take a 5-foot step? I just wanted 1 5-foot.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Sorry.
Yeah, you can take a 5-foot and then attack it.
All right, after seeing it, everyone's having a little bit of trouble hitting it, and it is doing some damage, Lyra is going to take a 5-foot step up and cast Cure Light Wounds.
On it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So she's going to be channeling positive energy, and it can take a will save.
Is it channeling?
It's a melee touch attack.
I think Cure Light Wounds is a melee touch attack.
The description says I channel positive energy.
Right. So to touch it, it's a melee touch attack.
Yeah. Cure Light Wounds is not the same as channel positive energy. If you were a cleric, you could do that.
14.
14 will hit its touch AC.
Yay.
Do your damage.
So it gets a will save to take
it out. Cure Light Wounds. I'm telling you, you're reading the description of channel positive energy, which is not the same.
No. That's Cure Light Wounds. I got it.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. And what you're doing is like, so channel positive energy, the spell as a cleric is you're channeling it to a group.
Right. But, it's in a burst.
But Cure Light Wounds is channeling through touch. So it's right. Going through her hand, and you make a will save for half.
Okay. Only works out in my favor. I don't save.
Sweet. Only 3. Or, no, sorry. 5. I forgot to add the plus.
Okie doke. Ikmer.
He is going to take that juicy 5-foot step
to get flanking
in order to flank again and use that trusty spear of his. 2 on the die does not hit.
Nope, it does not. Matumbe.
All right. Just like the last couple rounds, like I imagine there's this like aura of gray energy that kind of expands from Matumbe's book, which is in his right hand, and then it coalesces and shoots out in this little, like, kind of cylinder of energy. He is casting Disrupt Undead. That's a 16 on the die. I know that hits the touch AC.
Finally.
I know,
every
right?
other time that happened, it just arced wide.
Yep. All right, that didn't even get close to landing in my dice box, but that is a 6 on the die.
Nice.
Of positive energy.
How many Disrupt Undead do you have?
It's a
zero level spell.
Oh.
Yeah, so I can just keep cranking them out.
Wow.
Good one to have for this campaign. Alrighty, it is the Scythe's turn, and the Scythe moves, takes a 5-foot step towards Lyra, and swings down on Lyra.
Oh.
18 on the die definitely hits you.
Yes.
And are you still singing?
Yeah, I didn't say that she was stopping, so yes.
4 points of damage. And it is now Eclipse's turn.
All right, I'm going to lift up the giant sword again and try and hit it one more time. 14 on the die, so that's 20.
That hits.
Another 2, so that's 11.
Yeah, this hardness is really a bitch in this one. It's Lyra's turn.
She is going to stop singing, and she will try to cast Cure Light Wounds on it.
On it again?
Again, so it gets a will save.
You still have to make the range or the melee touch, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be a 9.
A 9 does not hit it, but because you didn't touch anything, you don't lose the spell. You still have it charged.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Ikmer, your turn.
All right. He is going to take that 5-foot step in order to flank with Lyra now. He's just dancing all over the place. And
now, Lyra has a melee weapon out, right? She is threatening this thing.
She had the crossbow out last, and I didn't say that she switched weapons. But I was trying to do a touch attack. I don't know if that counts.
You wouldn't be able to. If it moved away from you, you couldn't take an attack of opportunity. True. So.
All right. And Ikmer is, he's still going to take that 5-foot step.
Yeah, because when she pulls her Morning Star out, you will be flanking.
Yeah. And say,
hey, I'm right here. You should attack me.
And he's going to go after him with a spear. All right. Does a 18 hit?
Yes.
Awesome. He does 8 damage.
Okay.
And I guess when he does that damage, does it look like he's overcome the hardness at all?
It does not.
Okay.
It looks like you're not doing any damage to it.
Jesus.
Shit. With that, Matumbe, you're up.
Lady of Graves, help me return this scythe to rest.
Now, at this point, you're still taking the -4. Or no. Yep, you would be, because it's in combat with Ikmer and Eclipse.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just absolutely no way I hit it with an 8 on the die. Brings it up to an 11, drops it back down to a 7.
Yep, so no dice, as they say.
Yeah,
and it is the scythe's turn. The scythe still does not like that from Lyra. Lyra seems to be doing the most damage to it. And so it swings down on her. And a natty 2 does not hit.
Yay!
Eclipse.
Does it look like I've been doing stuff with my magical weapon?
It looks like you've been getting through.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
But barely.
Hey, so is this metal?
The blade of the scythe is, yes.
Oh, that's crazy, huh? So I'm going to try and do shocking grasp.
Okay, I like that. Huh.
This is the first time I've rolled below a 14, and I rolled a 4.
Oh, yeah. Must be nice.
That will...
Must be not, real nice.
Not hit.
Well, it's touch, right? And now remind me, with shocking grasp, is it that you do more damage to metal things, or it's easier to hit metal things?
Easier to hit metal things.
So, what does it go to?
And actually, so it's a 4 on the die. It would be plus 4 for my normal attack, so that's 8.
Mm-hmm.
Plus another 3 for being metal. That's 12. Touch.
Wait, you just said right? 8 and then plus 3 is 11.
Oh, 11.
So no. But very close. That is Lyra's turn.
All right, since it really doesn't seem to like the cure light positive energy, Lyra will try to help Ikmer out first and draw her morning star, and then she will reach out and try to do a ranged touch attack.
A ranged touch attack?
Or just touch attack, sorry. And that's an 11.
It does not hit.
Plus 2 for flanking.
Do I get?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, okay. So then that's a 13.
That does hit.
Yay. Unfortunately, was only 3 damage.
Yeah, cool.
3 damage.
We'll never need those cure light wounds ever.
Well, we just picked up some potions. I know.
I'll give you a hard time.
Yeah, it's like you're the only thing in your arsenal to deal with the undead is Lyra's 5 cure light wounds a day.
I'm sorry, I've got infinite amounts of what's this fucking spell called? Disrupt undead.
Disrupt undead.
Sorry, I've had a couple liquor drinks, guys. Jeez, cut me break.
Okay, Ikmer, it's your turn.
So, I guess brush me up on the rules exactly on force feeding potions.
No. No.
It's a standard action to feed someone else a potion, I believe. It might be full round, but I'm not 100% sure.
Do you want to hold him down and Eclipse will try and force feed it?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I'm gonna stop you guys right there.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have a mouth. Yeah. Oh,
it also doesn't have a body or anything.
Yeah.
So I'd be grabbing onto a weapon just to... Okay.
Hey,
roll
can
to
you
disarm.
Use, are you able to use scythes, by the way? I don't know.
No.
Probably not.
You can't use a longsword. You definitely can't use a scythe.
It's, yeah, the mechanics are just too high level for Ikmer. All right. He's gonna do his best.
Mr. Arms and Scythe, you... Attack me. I'm right here. I'm doing a lot here.
It might if you could damage it once.
Alright. I don't know if this will do it with 14.
No.
Alright.
14 does not do it. Matumbe.
Alright. Matumbe is going to hope for a high roll and disrupt undead. 19 on the die.
Brings, do it.
Yeah. Okay, so he's gonna do a little disruption. It's a 3 of positive energy,
and with a 3, you see your positive energy beam kind of out of the book and into this scythe, and you see the evil energy dripping off of it, and the skeletal arms. You see them begin to dissipate. Jesus.
What in the world?
That's one force missile. I thought that'd be a different sound.
You see them begin to dissipate, and the scythe drops to the ground and clatters on the stone floor. You are out of combat.
Ikmer jumps out of the way, making sure his toes don't get chopped off.
Okay, make a reflex save.
15 on the die.
Okay, you're good.
Ha ha.
So you see this scythe, you see this headman's block, or headsman's block, I guess it's called, right? Executioner's block?
I don't know.
I don't know. But the rest of the balcony seems pretty barren. It almost looks like this is where executions used to be carried out because of the block. On further inspection, you guys can see it seems a little sick that there's barred windows right above this balcony. It looks like they made the prisoners watch as they executed other prisoners.
Oh, that's metal.
Does anyone want to check out the scythe?
Yep. This could be bad for me, but I'm gonna.
You're gonna grab it?
Yeah. So I do, like, before I do that, is there anything more I, like, by looking at it, I would know? Because I do things with haunts.
Yes, so what you would think when you saw it clatter to the ground is that Matumbe's positive energy beam dissipated the haunting force that was within it. Now, this wasn't classified as a haunt, weirdly enough.
That's okay.
But
all right, so I'm going to pick it up and object read.
You're not getting any magic vibes from it. Can you make me a praise check? Or do you get like an appraisal from the object reading as well?
I don't get a praise from it, but I have a different psychic skill.
God damn.
Basically, I can read the impressions left on an object by their owners, or I could just roll an appraise at a 7. So, I don't know. I guess if I can't figure it out, I'll try and like look at what the own. Like, look more into the owner, but yeah. I'm going to try and appraise it first.
I'm going to try and aid. I do aid.
Good.
Cool.
11.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so with that, because it sounds like I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah, I'm going to use my psychometry.
You're not a scythe expert. You would, you know.
You know,
you take it into Pawn Stars, and they'll probably lowball you, and you'll accept that offer.
The impression that the owner left on the scythe was the ding in the blade.
Is that what you're looking for? Like stuff about the owner, or?
Just kidding. I'm good. I just don't know
you're
how
good.
Much it is.
You don't know how much it is. You see, it's pretty. Seems like it's pretty good quality.
Maybe detect magic.
No, I would have succeeded.
Yeah, she would have succeeded automatically.
It must be probably masterwork or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knowledge metagame. It's masterwork scythe.
Right.
Cool. Ikmer still can't use it, so.
Is that a martial weapon?
Probably.
Yes, it's a two-handed martial.
Ah.
So as you guys, you look around this balcony, you get that weird impression that like, oh, it looks like they... You know, did these executions in full view of a lot of other prisoners. It's kind of...
I don't like that very much.
As you leave the balcony and continue your way around the prison, you see a large stone on the ground. And it's kind of like... Almost in your way as you're walking around. As you walk past it, make me a perception check.
18.
I got 4. Or I rolled a 4, so that's 4.
6.
19.
Matumbe and Eclipse, you see blood on this stone. And further you look up and it looks like there's a loose... There. Would have been a loose part of the prison where this stone came from. You remember that Professor Lorimore's face was crushed when they found him. And you intuit that this is the stone that killed your beloved professor. I need everybody to finish your drinks because we'll see you next week.
I knew it.